This morning, we continue our reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, following on last week's reading of the Beatitudes. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, you see such potential in each one of your people. And yet somehow when darkness surrounds us, it is not only difficult to open ourselves to the light of your love, but even more difficult to share it with others. Encourage us, O God, as we bask in the light of your love, to be open to let that light shine through us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I grew up in a family whose eating habits were governed by my father's health issues. Because he was borderline diabetic and my mother was determined to control the issue through diet, there was no sugar to be found in our house. When my mother baked cookies, we wouldn't eat them because they were hard as rocks. I think they were sweetened with maybe a little bit of whatever that sweetener was that first came out in the 60s. And of course, because of blood pressure issues, salt was never used in cooking. No water was salted for the cooking of vegetables, and there was never salt on the table. Needless to say, we had little enthusiasm for meals as well. About 10 years ago, I discovered I had two little issues myself. I had low blood pressure, which of course makes all of the standing and sitting and worship a little tricky. But also, I was never thirsty. I was actually dehydrated because I had no sodium in my diet. You know, it's like a whole different world out there now. I had no idea how good food tasted with a little salt. And what a delight it is to actually be thirsty. Salt has its place indeed. Just like light, about which we've been speaking on a regular basis in the season of Epiphany. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world, Jesus tells us in our gospel reading today. But salt is only good if it retains its saltiness, and a light that is hidden is useless. Now, I don't want to prolong the discussion about how salt can lose its saltiness. Google it. Salt apparently wasn't a simple compound in Jesus' day, and yes, the flavor could be lost, leaving something that looked like salt but had no flavor. That's your simple chemistry lesson to make sense of Jesus' statement. So on their own, these two statements seem like lovely little analogies reminding us to shine the light of Christ and to bring flavor to the world around us. And we will have fulfilled our calling, our purpose as followers of Jesus. But sometimes, well, often, actually, you have to read these pithy little statements of Jesus in context to get the real meaning. Following today's reading is actually a series of warnings to people about the things of the world that might trap them and strip them of their faith, take away their flavor, and diminish their lights. Things like murder, adultery, divorce, the swearing of false oaths. And I get to preach on all of those things next week. I can hardly wait. So the simple little statements about light and salt today are not just a nice little reminder to keep shining and adding flavor to the world. They are actually a pretty severe warning about how easily we can be swayed from our calling as people of light and love to people who have given in to the ways of the world around them. Now, I don't want to steal any material I'll need for next week, so I'm going to steer clear of adultery and divorce and murder today. But I think there are lots of other things for us to consider as we think about ways in which we get swayed by the world and lose our special nature. I've been rereading some books on church development over the past week from about 10 years ago, and I'm actually amazed at how relevant they are. Perhaps because the writing was on the wall 10 years ago, but some of us kept coasting and chose to ignore it as long as we could. So I'll be referring to some of these books over the coming months and allowing them to raise some issues for us to consider as we think about our future here at St. John's. And this morning I'm going to highlight some of the dangers we're warned about in my favorite church development book, and one which I think is going to be really useful to our discovery team, called Find a Niche and Scratch It. Perhaps the first and most important issue it raises for us to consider is that of resistance to anything new because we take everything personally. Now think about that for a minute. Resistance to anything new because we take everything personally. I have to tell you, I stand guilty on this one. There is maybe nothing worse than feeling like you've been working yourself to the bone and someone comes up with an idea about how you could do things better. But you know, it's so important we don't extinguish the light of new ideas before they have a chance to shine. All of us need to be open to new possibilities, realizing that nothing is meant or should be taken personally. Any and all of us could be called to try new things, do things in new ways. And you know what? It's not about us at all. We're really not all that important in the process of sharing God's love and light. Another issue that this book identifies is that as a church, we like to look after ourselves. You know, for many generations, I think it worked well for us to consider our own needs because we could assume that those coming through our doors were just like us. They had the same needs. They were looking for the same thing. So whatever worked for us would work for them as well. But now we know that there is a greater divide than we once realized between those of us who are on the inside, so to speak, and those on the outside, so to speak. What worked for us may not and probably will not appeal to those in the community around us. And so the choice is ours to continue to focus on meeting our needs, or to think and to consult more carefully about what it is that might be meaningful to those outside of our doors. Isaiah was pretty clear this morning that all of our routines and rituals are useless unless they are directed toward the good of those we serve. And so I think you'll notice that our Lenten series this year is a good example of an attempt to offer a variety of programs to appeal to diverse needs and interests. I suppose then somewhat related to that one, that warning, is this next one. We keep on doing the same thing year after year. Well, I don't know. In some ways, that's not all bad, is it? I suppose it's sort of like traditions we have around holidays. There's a certain comfort in doing whatever we've always done. And it's quite possible what we've always done is still working. But we also have to constantly ask ourselves, who are we missing? What else could we be doing? And it's hard sometimes to ask those questions when we're actually feeling quite content ourselves. And finally, but not exclusively, the issue from which the book derives its name. We try to be all things to all people. You know, if St. Paul's has a big youth group, we want to have a big youth group too. If Maple Grove offers interesting prayer and meditation sessions, we want to offer them too. If Glen Abbey has an interesting speaker series, then we want to get organized to have one as well. But it doesn't take too much brain capacity to realize that one congregation cannot do it all, cannot be all things to all people. And we're no different here at St. John's. So in the coming months, we'll be looking really carefully at demographics. We'll be consulting carefully about what folk here think we do best. We'll be asking the community around us what needs they think we could be meeting. And out of that will come, we hope, we trust, a clearer sense of our unique niche in the market, so we can focus and build on that. I have a really bad memory for dates and years. How many years has our light at St. John's been shining brightly in downtown Oakville? Is it 187 years we've been around? I'm pretty sure that over those years, there have been bumps in the road. And yet, we're still here, offering space to our community for amazing events, providing care and compassion to those in need, expanding our music program. This is so exciting. We're adding two new soloists to our choir in September. It's a daring move the council decided to take. this week, but we're pretty excited about it. And so you know what? I'm banking on another 187 years because I won't be around to know the difference anyway, right? So let's set that as our goal. But remember, let's not rain on the parade and extinguish the light of enthusiasm. Let's be open to lots of new ideas and lots of possibilities. Some of us might have high blood pressure, but let's not remove the salt from the table and become totally bland. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Let's believe that.